Welcome to State Scoop's podcast series on IT modernization in government, underwritten this week by Okta. I'm your host, Wyatt Cash, and in today's episode, we're talking about how modern identity and access solutions can help agencies mitigate instances of fraud. Joining us to talk about that is Rob Forbes, cloud architect at Okta, which specializes in identity management and IT security solutions. Rob brings more than 30 years of information technology experience to today's discussion, having worked with Fortune 500 companies, as well as government organizations on a wide range of IT and security programs. Rob, thanks so much for joining us and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, one of the recurring security themes we've heard over the past few months, particularly at state and local agencies, is the fact that in the rush to support remote workers and deploy cloud-based services, agencies and their employees have also become more vulnerable to security risks, including instances of fraud. So let me start by asking, agencies obviously want to offer more cloud-based services to improve service delivery. Why is it so crucial for agencies to also use modern identity and authentication tools as they build out these services?
Sure. So as they're pushing to get all these services out, they're granting access to funds and cash and money and needing access to people's information to verify them and identify them. So the minute money becomes in play, the risk of fraud goes up. People are going to start attempting to try and get services and resources they're not entitled to. So they're pushing and they're trying to get their systems out. Things get overlooked or old systems are being retooled or being patchworked into, you know, service to support the uptick in the demand. You know, their workloads have doubled and tripled in some cases. So that's going to drive up an uptick in fraud attempts and actions, especially around the identity theft for people looking to take advantage of the situation. You know, it creates big problems from the organization standpoint. It also creates problems from the citizen standpoint. I'm unemployed and I'm trying to get my unemployment benefits. I log in only to find out that someone else has logged in and applied for and gotten my benefits. And now I can't get the funds I need to pay my rent, to pay for my groceries, gas, my insurance, whatever I need to do. So the impact on the citizens is very large as well. And then there's a big shift on the workload to the organization as they try and deal with the fraud. The latest updated numbers are up to $20 billion in fraud in California alone. So, you know, they're trying to sift through and deal with all these requests, and they're doing so with older systems and older tools that weren't built to service the level of people or the risks associated around those systems on getting those people into them.
Well, agency employees obviously will still need to be working from home for the foreseeable future in many cases, which complicates the security measures that agencies traditionally deployed. Can you discuss modern authentication controls from an employee standpoint and what agencies stand to gain from making that investment?
Absolutely. So the number one target is typically administrators. The administrators of the systems have, you know, the highest level of access. They've got access to the back-end databases. They've got access to the systems that do authorizations. They've got access to the systems that have all the personal information that they're using to verify citizens with. So those administrators and those folks that run the systems that are now working from home are, you know, a number one target when it comes to these fraud attempts. So you want to make sure that you've got tools in place to make sure that that is who they say they are, so that you have, you know, multi-factor and adaptive multi-factor authentication solutions in place so that you can look and see that, you know, I really am Rob Forbes and I'm logging in from California. I'm not Rob Forbes and I'm trying to log in from New York when I just logged in from California a little bit ago. So putting in authentication and authorization tool sets that are modern and can deal with things like risk and adaptive authentication really help the organizations prevent that fraud, you know, attacks on those administrators and on those back-end systems. That's a linchpin and a critical point that the threat actors are going to go after.
Well, you mentioned earlier about the potential frustration citizens can experience. Let's talk about that a little. Citizens are obviously accessing services through new platforms, and they also need identity credentials. And there still are many shortcomings with simply setting up a username and password. What are some of the benefits and challenges to implementing citizen-facing authentication tools?
Yeah, absolutely. The citizens have the same risk or greater risk than the employees do because they're trying to get the services and trying to get the resources that they need to get to, but it needs to be seamless for them. It can't be something that takes them hours on end to utilize or use. You need to be able to make sure that the people who are applying for them are the appropriate persons. Again, if I'm connecting in from Florida and I'm trying to get unemployment in California, maybe that's not quite correct. Or if I'm connecting in from Europe or Africa, why am I connecting into a system? I mean, it's possible I'm traveling or something along those lines, but it increases the risk, and it's something to consider when you're granting the people access or you're vetting them for who they are. So between our system and partners' systems out there, there are tools out there that let you vet users' identities, you know, in multiple fashions. We've all seen the answer the three questions. Did you have a loan for this? Or did you live at this address? Or which city did you live in? You know, there are various tools out there that can be leveraged and tied into the systems when users register to make this seamless and smooth for them without having to make it burdensome, but at the same time, reducing that risk of the fraud from the threat actors.
Well, Rob, I know you work with a lot of state and local agencies. Talk to us a little bit about what the greatest gaps in security that state and local leaders should be focusing on now as they move into 2021.
Yeah, so the biggest problem we see with state and local governments and the biggest complaint we hear from them is they're dealing with older systems that have been in place for, you know, 15, 20 years. Some of them are homegrown systems that they built 10, 15, 20 years ago, and the person who created them, they're not there any longer. So modernizing these become a big part of the problem. How do I get the data out of those? How do I use this system to grant access when it was meant to be internal and meant to be done at the office, but now I need to do it over the internet? How do I securely grant the access to that in a quick fashion without increasing my risk or the threat to those backend systems? How do I put multi-factor authentication on some of these systems that weren't designed for multi-factor? You know, these systems were designed, you know, 20 years ago, and we asked for a cookie and you handed off a cookie and okay, you are who you say you are. And we use that cookie 10 places. And, you know, that application doesn't know the concept of multi-factor. So how do I handle that? And how do I adapt that and make that easy for the people to do that? At the same time, there's more and more requests for more and more applications for the citizens. It's not just my request for unemployment. People are looking for, how do I get my permits for my bar? How do I get my permits for my shop to run? Or, you know, how do I get my permits for my elevators? These types of things weren't offered online in a lot of cases. They were things that you still went to the building and tax people. People still went into those offices on a large scale versus doing these types of things online. So I need to lift and shift a lot of these tools to put them out there, but then how do I secure them and lock them down? What are my options for securing it? Modern authentication options to make sure, again, that the people that are filling out this information or requesting this information or submitting this information are the people who they say they are, so that the agencies have the visibility and the certainty that the services they're granting or the information they're passing back and forth is with the correct person, the individual they are presenting to be. When we look at it, we don't look at it as just with one single organization. Okta's been deployed with multiple states and multiple companies around the world. And we see these access attempts from around the world, and we start seeing these trends, and it ties into our infrastructure. And we're able to look at these things and say, you know what, you're on the forbidden list. You know, we see you failing logins in this state, and we see you fail logins on that state, and we see you failing logins to these financial institutions. We're going to go ahead and put you on our bad actors list, and we're not going to allow you to do that. You know, we had one state agency that we blocked 500,000 attempts, fraudulent logins, just blocking it, never even getting to the system, because we knew that those were coming from addresses and sources that were very high risk and likely fraudulent ones.
Well, Rob, can you share some practical examples of how you're seeing agencies benefit from modernizing their identity and authentication tools, and maybe how that's also helping them drive down some of their costs?
Absolutely. So when you start getting these tools modernized, you start streamlining the processes behind them. So, you know, what used to take, you know, 3 days or 5 days to get somebody access to the appropriate systems can now be done in minutes. I'm not spending all kinds of time digging through logs and trying to manually go back and retroactively deal with bad logins, bad actors getting into access systems, going up back and cleaning up. Just think of the effort that goes in if I log in as you and I get your unemployment benefits. And then, you know, the state goes and says, okay, well, we just got verification that, you know, you are actually employed and you got unemployment benefits. Now I've got to go back and we've got to talk to you and say, hey, you owe us this money because we paid you. And then you've got to say, no, I never applied for those. And then they have to go back and forth to logs and processing systems and try and verify, you know, what bank accounts were funds paid to and stuff. So the workload from the fraud is not just on the, oh, we've lost money. It's all the back and forth of did you or didn't you, and how do we know you did, and how do we know you didn't, and then how do we remit those funds? And then if you actually do need those funds and it wasn't because, you know, you go and apply and you find out that I applied for you, you still need to get your funds. And how do we get that taken care of and resolved? And the workload that puts on these agencies is a lot of manual effort and a lot of manual hours. So when you start modernizing your access and with a central modern identity solution, these logs are easier to process. It's easier for folks to go in and see these things. You can automate the access, the provisioning of the user's rights to the GIS system, taking away the access. You know, that's another thing. When I start seeing this fraud, how do I go take away the access? If it's one of my administrators that's been compromised and he's logging into 15 systems, how long does it take me to respond to that and stop that problem from happening? So, you know, I'm able to streamline that with a modern identity solution, make that faster, make that quicker. So it cuts down the risk window. It cuts down the workload that folks are doing on things that should be automated. Now they can go focus on things like updating the applications and finding modern solutions and replacing those solution sets and, you know, take them out of this cycle of constantly chasing the squeaky wheel in these older systems. Now we're able to start working on higher value things that I'm doing from a day-to-day basis.
Well, lastly, Rob, can you share some recommendations with our listeners about what they should be looking for in pretty much a state-of-the-art modern identity and access platform that's also still affordable for them to deploy?
Absolutely. So number one is security. I think if your data is not secure, if the organization that you're or the platform you're looking at doesn't have the security controls and requirements that are multi-level and in-depth to be able to secure your data and make you comfortable that the data for your employees and for your citizens is secure, that's a problem. So you want to take a very hard look at the security of the infrastructure, the security of the processes, and then the procedures inside the organization. What are the checks and balances inside the organization to make sure that, you know, hey, you know, our data is encrypted, but where are the keys that protect the data that's encrypted? We're on a modern cloud platform, but, you know, is it a multi-tenanted platform? Are those tenants segmented from each other? How are those tenants segmented from each other so that we know our data is not commingling, or if another tenant gets compromised, we're not compromised? So you want to take a strong look at the security on the platform. Additionally, what is the availability of that platform? How is it managed and maintained? Because you can't take, you know, outages every weekend for updates and maintenance and stuff when citizens are needing to be able to get access to those systems. You can't tell them, oh, you can't get to that Friday night at midnight through Sunday at 1 p.m. because we're doing maintenance. These citizens need this access. It needs to be 24/7, 365. So I need to have a platform that's available and scalable enough to be able to support that and make sure that they're there, and then that it can take care of all the people that are making requests. You know, organizations are seeing 3, 5 to 10 times the volume of requests for services online that they were seeing pre-pandemic. And that's one of the other things with the legacy systems they have to deal with, is they weren't built to handle these loads. So when you start looking at a modern solution set, you want to make sure that they have that capability to scale and be available across the platform so that they can get to the services, and your administrators can get to the services and resources, and your employees. You know, you don't want them to not be able to go check on something like, when did Rob log in and where did he log in from to request these services? Well, our system's down right now. I can't tell you that. So you're going to have to wait a little bit, you know, or it's slow right now because we've got too many people coming in. You want to be able to respond to your constituents and your users in a very timely fashion. You know, I would look at those three main things: the security, the availability, and the scalability are the three critical factors that people need to consider, in my opinion, when they're looking at a platform.
Well, those are some great points. Rob Forbes, thanks so much for joining us to talk about some of the ways modern identity and access management tools can really help state and local CIOs mitigate fraud.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks, of course, to Okta for underwriting today's episode. Look for more of our coverage of IT modernization in government on statescoop.com and our StateScoop radio channels on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn. This is Wyatt Cash. Thanks for tuning in.